Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This particular body, which researchers deposited in 2014, was initially stripped by vultures.
Well, that's what they do.
Then, the following January, a remote camera snapped shots of a new visitor to the scene, a young white-tailed deer. Not outside the Little House, I guess. It looked very dainty, but for the human rib bone extending from the side of the mouth like a cigar.
You don't want them coming into even a place like Chatter and ordering the ribs.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Actually live when we record it, plausibly live when you hear it. We are at Chatter, which is open for breakfast starting at 8, and we've got a big crowd. We're very thrilled. Ambient noise. We're on the corner of Wisconsin Avenue and Jennifer Street's Northwest, block inside the district line. Maybe we're going to get a breakfast business down the road. That would be really good because God knows by putting in this studio, we have ruined the business by taking out all the seats that used to be here.
Walking away from that radio money.
Yeah.
Good call on your part.
Unbelievably stupid. We're here with Gary Braun and Gene McManus and Michael Kornheiser. Nigel is here back with a bandage around his head, so he looks like the fife and drum set from the Revolutionary War.
I think he looks like somebody from a Richard Simmons exercise
looks like
video.
You could be the next
Richard Simmons.
Right, yeah, you want to get your shots in now.
Yeah.
By the way, I should point out that my doctor said that I need to be swaddled every 20 minutes. So I don't know who wants to do that for me, but
we'll get somebody downstairs eating breakfast
because
we're not
going to
do it.
There you go.
Yeah. So we've got Ann Hornaday later in the show to review movies, and Adam Ferrara is going to join us, and I'm sure going to make us laugh. And I will get to the I am wearing, by the way, for people, because we're not on News Channel 8 today, I am wearing my red morning Rock the Red Caps pants.
Yeah.
Because everybody in town needs to be in mourning for the Capitals.
They're kind of paprika colored, I think.
Let's rock the paprika, isn't it?
Let's rock the paprika, then.
Gene, your take on Mr. Tony's position, that it was not a choke?
Not a choke.
I was listening, and I thought, someone has seized control of Tony's body and is channeling.
Yes, the Littles were shocked by that position.
I
don't know who you are.
Okay.
I don't know where that strain of compassion came from.
Amazing, isn't it?
I hope I never hear it again.
You won't.
I think it's my presence. I think when I'm in the room,
maybe.
I don't want to be a terrible person in front of my son. I want to talk about the Steve Harvey deal, but before I get to that, something came in the mail today that is fabulous from Priscilla Connolly, and I'm going to read this. I've been enjoying the many talented musicians that play following the broadcast each day, and while I don't have a piano, I do have a paintbrush. Having learned during the mailbag segment a while back that there were photos of Chessie online to view, Chessie, who, by the way, has diarrhea right now, for those of you eating breakfast.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing.
Photos of Chessie online to view. I thought I'd take the opportunity to practice my latest venture, miniature dog portraits painted in oil on small wooden ovals. It turned out pretty well. I decided to send it along to you. It is strung on a leather cord with an adjustable sliding knot so you can make it any length you wish and could become a talisman or amulet for me when I fly. Thanks for the many hours of entertainment. Sincerely, Priscilla Connolly. For more of my work, please visit my Facebook page at Portraits by Priscilla. We have a painter of consequence sitting with us now, and you saw this and you really liked it.
Yes, I did.
I mean, this is really nice.
I compared it with Chessie's photo, and it was
amazing.
I hold it up
detail
for people to see in there.
Small
eating breakfast.
Oh, I didn't even realize it said Chessie on the back.
Says Chessie on the back, so that you wouldn't get confused.
But don't put that around Chessie's.
No, Chessie will eat it.
Chessie
will eat it.
Well, that'll stop the diarrhea.
Can she make them with
a lot of fiber?
Yes, it will. By the way, you know what? When you're awakened at 1 in the morning, and there's a, you know, there you learn.
I think the story would be if Nigel was asleep at 1 in the morning.
What you learn from dogs is that while all they can do is sort of whine and bark, there are different whines and different barks for different occasions. And when a dog wakes me up at 1 and is, you know, you licks your face and you go, okay, enough, but then sits there and whines in a plaintive way, you better get that dog out of the house. You got about 30 seconds to get that dog out, and that's what I had, about 30 seconds this morning. I've been up 4 different times in the middle of the night with this dog. Mm. This is not great.
And
now I'm cooking rice.
I'm cooking rice.
I got enough rice to open up a restaurant, which is what I'm... I'm a co-owner of a restaurant. I ought to bring the rice in here.
I would think your dog would eat like a risotto. I wouldn't think like
8 a.m. breakfast, kids. 8 a.m. Please don't come at 7:30. We got to turn you away.
As you said, different dogs have different sounds. I can only think what the dog sounded like that barked on Wilbon's plane.
Wilbon said the dog, one small bark. One small bark, and that was it. And then unload.
And then
throw it in the freezer.
All right. Now we'll get to Steve Harvey. I don't know Steve Harvey. I see his show every once in a while without sound. It's on in PTI. Seems like a very successful show. Yes. Seems like he's made a lot of money. I know he was a comedian before that. I know that he hosts large events because he had that thing where he got the winner wrong last year.
Oh, yeah.
A little thing called the Miss Universe pageant.
He's got the little kid show that everybody seems to like. Yeah, kids with
kids
talent.
Love that show. Yeah. Yeah.
People like family Steve
feud.
Harvey.
Family Feud, does he still do that?
He did he does. Family, let's play the feud. So, my family tried out for the feud with Steve Harvey.
He's making tens of millions of dollars every single year.
Yes.
He's doing great until this. This is, it's not a career ender, but he'll never escape this. He'll never escape this. This is an exact copy of what Steve Harvey sent to his staff. Good morning, everyone. Welcome back. I'd like you all to review and adhere to the following notes and rules for season 5 of my talk show. There will be no meetings in my dressing room. No stopping by or popping in. No one, all caps. Do not come to my dressing room unless invited. Do not open my dressing room door. If you open my door, expect to be removed, all caps. My security team, that's a bad phrase. Yeah. My security team will stop everyone from standing at my door who have the intent to see or speak to me. I want all the ambushing to stop now. That includes TV staff. You must schedule an appointment. I've been taken advantage of by my lenient policy in the past, which I had parenthetically probably included not shooting people. This ends now. No more, all caps. Do not approach me while I'm in the makeup chair unless I ask to speak with you directly. Either knock or use the doorbell. I am seeking more free time from me throughout the day. Do not wait in any hallway to speak to me. I hate being ambushed. Please make an appointment. I promise you I will not entertain you in the hallway, and do not attempt to walk with me. If you're reading this, yes, I mean you. Everyone, do not take offense to the new way of doing business. No, it is not for the good of my personal life and enjoyment. Thank you all. Signed, Steve Harvey.
So the issue
what do you
here,
make of this?
The
issue it's tyrannical.
Here, the issue here is
it's
not
Streisand,
what
right?
he's saying so much that he plagiarized this letter basically word for word. I got the same thing from you when we moved to Chatter.
Yeah, that's, so yeah. I don't, this is you can't do anything like this.
And he comes across as just such this
folksy.
Warm, folksy,
so folksy.
Oh, shucks.
It's horrifying. I mean, what you do, you can't send that out. You have to go to your best friend and say, what do you think of this?
Right.
And your best friend then says, no, Steve, no.
Right.
Tony, the sort of incredulity, with which he has met, he has not backed off this, not apologized, and sort of said, like, man, I'm amazed this thing has taken off. Like, who could be surprised by reading this?
So I'll get to the Wilbon. So yesterday we're talking about this in PTI, and I say to Wilbon, listen to this, and we read it to him, and he says, well, he's a comedian. He's just being funny.
Yeah.
And I go, I don't think so. I think he's being, no, he's funny. That's funny. And I said, Mike, you think that's funny? I don't think that's funny. He said, that's funny. And then we played for him, Steve Harvey, is it on Entertainment Tonight or whatever it was, defending it. And Wilbon goes, my God, he's serious.
Well, the stupidest thing about this is thinking that you can send a letter like that
and
to your staff,
and
it will not be leaked.
Incredible.
And don't you wonder if there was one incident that precipitated this, or is, you know, because it seems so
crazy.
Irrational. And
sure does.
This is what was said about Barbara Streisand.
How do your people...
That she instructed people not to look at her.
Right.
Not even to look at her.
As is true of our Secretary of State, this was said.
Tillerson?
Yes.
No. Yeah,
don't look
him,
at me.
Don't
yeah,
look
don't
me look, in the eye.
Yeah, don't look him directly in the eye.
Yeah.
Well, that's maybe he's got a wandering eye or something, and it's hard to look him in the eye.
There he goes, channeling again.
He said, don't look him in the eye?
Yes.
That was a memo sent out to staff.
Wow. Hmm. By the way, we've got people.
I know.
This is the first time we've had really
nice
a big crowd.
Actually,
a couple of those, I think the day after the Caps loss, we had maybe a couple dozen.
That was yesterday.
Wow. Long week.
Yeah, that was simply yesterday.
Seems like forever ago. I've so put it in the rearview mirror.
Can I do one other thing? You don't want me to talk about the dog.
No, it's nearly not the time.
But I'm going to talk about this one
thing. Remember you have people here eating breakfast?
So, yeah, I'm not going to talk about the dog. Okay. I've done that. Yesterday rained all day. It's going to rain most of the day today. It's going to rain a lot on Saturday. Okay, fine. Traffic in this city, and probably in all cities, is the same. When it rains... People, you can have all the mass transit in the world, and it can even not set itself on fire all the time. It can be good mass transit. People don't take mass transit in the rain. They don't. They take their cars in the rain. So when you're coming home at rush hour in a rainy day, you don't move. This normally takes me about 35 minutes from downtown to my house, 35, 40 minutes. It was over an hour yesterday. Connecticut Avenue was a no-fly zone. You could not move. So I got off Connecticut.
Any cooling water? Were there like
No. I got off Connecticut to try to go through the park thinking that would save me, and in fact it did. It saved me 5 or 10 minutes. But the line to get into the park was mile and a half
long. Yeah, that's
long.
A mess.
No,
yeah,
I went through Adams Morgan.
Oh, okay.
I went through Park Road, and I went through Adams Morgan and all. But that was a mile and a half long because everybody was trying to beat everybody else. Do you know, am I the only one that, it's terrible.
Well,
it's terrible in the rain because you can have all the subways, you can have all the buses, the Purple Line. You dopes who want to build the Purple Line, that's not saving you in the rain.
Governor Hogan trying to force a decision on that. You read that?
I'm tired of him. I liked him at the beginning because I didn't think he was going to go for the Purple Line. And now I'm tired of him. Yeah. Tired of him. You don't drive anymore.
I drive,
drive at your own leisure.
And I live outside the city. I mean, I'm in the city from time to time. But yes, you're right. Anywhere you go. And it was raining hard for a good portion of yesterday, too.
Awful. Yeah. By the way, some little sports news. James Harden. James Harden, my candidate for MVP. Yeah. And I maintain this all year long. And I said, no, not Westbrook. No, James Harden, because James Harden had more assists, and James Harden remade his game, and Houston was so much better than they were last year, and Oklahoma City was not, because they lost Kevin Durant, and so on and so forth. James Harden stunk. Game at home that you have to win. This would be like if John Wall does nothing in Game 6 at all. And he, even if he did nothing, he couldn't be as bad as James Harden, who only had 10 points on only 11 shots.
11 shots.
He had 6 turnovers. Houston at home scored 75 points and lost by 39.
And he fouled out. I think Harden fouled out of the game.
It's awful.
And didn't Houston win the first two games of that series?
Yes, at home.
And I remember
they split.
Well, they split.
It was tied 2-2 after 4.
Okay. Yeah. At that point, I thought, you know, Tony's got a case for Harden.
Yeah, but
not
now.
And I hadn't thought so before.
No, well, not now.
Who thought when Tony Parker went down that the Spurs would get out of this series? And then compounded by Kawhi Leonard hurt in Game 5, out in Game 6, you figured this is 100%
So without Tony Parker and Kawhi Leonard, San Antonio won 2 games, and Houston won none.
Popovich.
And there's an amazing Popovich statistic. I really think so, because it's hard to win on the road. In potential closeout games on the road under Greg Popovich, that's a very specific grouping. Potential closeout games of a playoff series.
With the opportunity to close out?
Yes.
Okay.
On the road, they're 23-10. That's unbelievably great. Because you're on the road. That other team is at home in fear of being closed out, and you're 23-10. It's just fabulous. That's really fabulous.
Yeah.
All right, let us get out of here now. We will come back with Ann Hornaday, and I will, during the break, I will go and say hello to people because there's really a lot of people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe I can become a waiter.
There you go.
Nigel, you were a waiter.
I was.
Gina, you were a waitress.
Waiter, yes. Waitress and bartender. I can do.
Well, we have jobs
then
for you.
I could go in the kitchen and cook up some eggs.
Fantastic.
We get hard pressed.
Ann Hornaday, when we return, I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Legacy Box ad. This is one of the ads where I think this seems like a very good product.
I want to do this.
And I would like to do this because it says host can feel free to personalize body copy as long as major bullet points are hit. So fine. So I'm going to say I'll get to the bullet points.
You're going
to
regret that policy in about 20 seconds.
This thing sounds pretty good. When was the last time you watched your home movies? If you're like most Americans, there's a box in your closet of videotapes, film reels, and photos that don't get watched or taken out. Worse, they're actually physically deteriorating. So, I mean, there are things I've got that I'd like to save. But, I mean, I've saved them, but if they're physically deteriorating, that's not good. So, introducing Legacy Box, a simple and affordable way to get your recorded moments digitally preserved on DVD or thumb drive. Now, of course, I don't know what thumb drive is, but I know what DVDs are, so I'm halfway there.
Can you name one tape you'd like to save?
I'd like to save the entire season of Listen Up, the one and only season of Listen Up.
I don't think we have all the episodes.
Well, I'd like to save what we have.
Is there a video of Michael on the pony? That would definitely be worth saving.
No, I don't think we have.
This, by the way, is a thumb drive.
It doesn't do me any good. I don't know how to use it.
You just put it in a little slot in your computer and things take care of themselves.
You hold it in your hand and you yell, representative.
Here's how it works. Load Legacy Box with your old tapes, film, pictures, and audio recordings and send it back. You'll get them back in a couple of weeks on DVD or a convenient thumb drive that Nigel just held up, ready to watch, share, and relive. Legacy Box takes care of everything and provides updates at every step of the process. That's why over 250,000 families have used them. The Huffington Post, now the Huff Post, Parents Magazine, USA Today, and The View are all talking about Legacy Box. And for a limited time, if you go to legacybox.com/TonyK, you will get 40% discount on your order. That is Legacy Box, LegacyBox.com/TonyK for 40% off. LegacyBox.com/TonyK.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Brandon S. Bowker, singer-songwriter, Louisville, Kentucky. I'm working on self-releasing an EP of new music.
Bowker.
I wanted to send along a couple of B-sides ahead of the official drop. These won't be on the record, but hopefully they'll generate a little buzz about fresh, new, sensitive rock and roll. Feel free to play them as you like. This is She Stoops to Conquer. Did you just kill them?
No, you just took a little break.
Yes.
It's there.
I was trying to fade it down, but this...
No.
It was all thumbs.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Ann Hornaday joins us now in the week before she goes to Cannes. You don't even pronounce it Cannes. I pronounce it wrong. Like, you pronounce it Cannes?
No. I think you're wrong. I think you're right. I think I'm wrong. I say Cannes.
I know.
I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know. I should probably get to the bottom of this.
Well,
I don't know. I feel like if I say con, it sounds so pretentious. I already feel pretentious just going.
Well, I am pretentious, and that's why
you're
I would say con.
You're not pretentious, but I feel like I'm being pretentious.
Why do you
think
you're here?
You sound like you're right. I feel pretentious just saying, like, I'm going to con. I don't know. I can't make those words come out of my mouth.
But it's okay, but you're the only... See, you say can, and it's always made me feel, because we've done this for years, it's always made me feel hopelessly inadequate. Because
no,
I've learned
opposite.
I thought
no,
it was
no.
Con. Gene, is it con or can?
I can't really here, say right now.
I just Googled it. Here's the pronunciation according to my computer. I don't know if you'll be able to hear it.
No.
There's an ad. So
I can't. Anyway, so let's get to some movies, and we'll get to the pronunciation in a little while, because we will talk about it later. The first movie we're going to talk about is this movie, Snatched, which you've seen hundreds of times already on television in terms of the outtakes with Amy Schumer and Goldie Hawn. And I, you know, do I like Goldie Hawn? Like Goldie Hawn very, very much.
Of course.
Do I like Amy Schumer? I don't, you know, I mean, I thought, what was that movie?
Trainwreck.
I thought it was pretty good. I really liked LeBron James in it. I thought he was
was so good.
So it was okay, but my feeling about her is that, you know, this seems like this is what she does, and I'd be pretty surprised if in this movie it isn't pretty much the same as Trainwreck. So please tell me I'm wrong and I can watch this movie.
Well, this is a movie. It's definitely a good news, bad news proposition. I mean, there is no doubt Schumer is... I just find her to be... She is funny. She can sell a gag. She kind of plays this bumbling, selfish, self-involved, clueless, unself-aware young woman. And she can give that, you know, she knows how to breathe life into that character in a really funny, self-deprecating, winning way. This movie is part of this tradition now that we have in comedy that really depends on raunch and at least one thoroughly disgusting sight gag, you know, just a gross out, which that's not my take, you know, I get it, and I won't lie, I was laughing because you just sort of, you're laughing a little bit in disbelief in the way that Schumer is so kind of, she's bravely kind of selling all this stuff.
She's willing to be disgusting.
Yeah, she is, and just in this brazen way that is really kind of wonderful. There's a talent, you know, there's a gift to that. So, you know, all of those gags and bits and set pieces kind of jumble along, and they do keep you laughing. However, you know, you mentioned Goldie Hawn, and she's just wasted. I mean, she's really the straight person. I was hoping that she would kind of, this would be a chance for a whole new generation to discover the delights of Goldie Hawn and what a gifted comedian she is. And she plays kind of a scolding, you know, super cautious mom, and which is completely at odds with that free spirit you and I grew up with.
Sure,
you know?
I'm
and
laughing.
There's there's even a scene where Amy Schumer's character is going through an old photo album and sees these old pictures of Goldie, and they are old pictures of Goldie with just that grin and that life force that just jumps off the page, and you're like, why couldn't they, you know, figure out a way to get that back. So I felt sad about that. I really would have liked to have seen Goldie Hawn get some more opportunities to be funny.
So what I'm thinking is that Amy Schumer is going to do this for a while in the way that Melissa McCarthy did this for a while until mm-hmm. somebody's smart enough to write something a little bit better. And I thought Melissa McCarthy in Spy, that was a little bit better than most of the stuff.
I love that. And I thought, you know, and the thing about Trainwreck that I really admired was that you did see Schumer really act. I mean, she did have to change tone there for, you know, at one point, a very dramatic, serious point in the movie. And she did a beautiful job with that. So we know she's capable, you know, of finding other layers. And I hope you're right. I hope she, but, you know, like, I don't want to undersell, like, this is a perfectly, I saw it at Mazza the other night, and the audience was just with it.
Sure.
It's 90 minutes.
Fine.
It's like we all need a laugh right now, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that kind of like go, laugh a little bit, and leave, and you'll be fine. You know? So it lives in that little space.
There's another movie, and I'm intrigued by this. I'm intrigued by the cast, and I'm intrigued by the fact, the subject matter. This is called Chuck. This is about Chuck Wepner, the Bayonne bleeder, who was a fighter of consequence, and many people think was the inspiration for Sylvester Stallone. In Rocky, Liev Schreiber, I hope I pronounce his name right, is in mm-hmm. this. Elizabeth Moss, who's fabulous, and Naomi Watts, who's fabulous, and they're in a movie about a fighter. Now this is a tried and true sports kind of movie. The boxing movies are always, the boxing movies and the horse racing movies are the great movies in sports. How good is this, or is it not good?
Oh, no. This was one of my gems out of Toronto last year. This and that little movie we talked about a few weeks ago called Tramps, which is on Netflix. Tramps and this movie were my heart, my crushes coming out of Toronto. And when I saw it, it was called The Bleeder, which is in reference to this, to Chuck Wepner being able to just stand there and take it.
Yeah.
And he would just get cut up and just destroyed, and he just, you know, he could take it. And so people started calling him the Bleeder. So this movie, it does follow, you know, his great claim to fame was going 15 rounds with Ali.
Sure.
And not only kind of surviving it, but knocking Ali down at one point. And so he becomes this sort of local hero. And so it follows this kind of sad sack guy to his moment of greatness, and then to Rocky, and then it becomes this really interesting, tender, sweet, sad and sweet kind of meditation on American celebrity and the fame adjacent. And so it's not your typical it hits most of the notes of a boxing movie, but it goes much further, and it has this kind of knockabout, Scorsese, tough, mean streetsy vibe to it. It's all in the 70s, so you've got that wonderful period look and music, and Moss and Watts are fantastic. They are just wonderful. It's just a lovely movie.
See this one. I'm just sort of afraid. Like when you said it becomes, a treatment of American celebrity. There is in Rocky II, I think it is, all that stuff where maybe it's in regular Rocky, where he's, you know, doing ads for bail bonds and, you know, doing all these low rent ads. I think it's in two.
Yeah.
And I mean, that was my fear is that I'm going to go to see this and I'm just going to wait for Sylvester Stallone to be in one of the scenes.
I don't want to spoil much. I mean, it's all there, but I just thought it was so perfectly handled. You know, I mean, it's all
fabulous actors,
really
actresses.
Nicely. It's just nicely. They don't lay anything on too thick. And Schreiber, Schreiber is absolutely magnificent.
That's good to know.
And I just want to say, like, for it, you know, and it is a little bit down at the heels and kind of, you know, hangdog, but.
Right.
It just ends up in such a beautiful place. It's just wonderful. You'll feel really great after you see this movie.
Good. Just to clarify, Tony, you said rumored to inspire Rocky. My understanding is that Wepner Ali fight, Stallone saw that
and
wrote Rocky.
Yeah, I shouldn't have said rumored. I mean, that's how it worked. Another movie is called The Lovers, and I think you alluded to this last week when you talked about big stars like Richard Gere doing indie movies now and not big studio movies. And this has Deborah Winger. I haven't heard of Deborah Winger in at least 20 years, it seems to me, and Tracy Letts. And Tracy Letts, for people that don't know, Tracy Letts wrote and won the Pulitzer Prize for August Osage County, which I thought is one of the worst movies I've ever seen. And Tracy Letts did a fabulous thing. He sent me a copy of the book, August Osage County, and he said, why don't you read this? I won the Pulitzer for this. What have you won? And it's just fabulous. And I treasure it because he just smacked me right in the face.
Good for him.
And I thought that was
funny.
Great. I didn't know he was an actor. I had no idea.
He's a wonderful actor.
So how is The Lovers? What is it?
This is another one I'm going to have to rave about. It's
okay.
It's so neat. It's it's a romantic comedy. It's kind of a bedroom farce about a late-in-life married couple played by Deborah Winger and Tracy Letts. And I don't want to give really very much away, but they're in the doldrums of the marriage. They're empty nesters, and they're not relating to one another at all. And so each of them has another person in their life. And it's just a very gentle, deadpan screwball comedy about how this dynamic plays out. And it does not go where you think it's going to go. And it's you know, I had mentioned when we talked about Richard Gere in this equally lovely movie called Norman, I mentioned Woody Allen, and this has that kind of Woody Allen, you know, wryness, really? Kind of a jaundiced look. But it's directed by this guy named Azazel Jacobs, who has such a beautiful way of staging and framing scenes so that a lot of their relationship is expressed physically and what these two people kind of do around each other and how they play off each other. And there's even kind of a great scene with Tracy Letts in a car in a parking lot where he's trying to juggle his life on the phone. That's just a great piece of physical comedy. And again, it doesn't go where you really necessarily think it's going to go. It's got kind of a wistful tone to it, but I found it to be really smart and delightful. And again, you know, I think Letts, I think he's listening. Is he going to be listening?
I don't know if he's listening. Someone may have just told him that I savaged his movie, but he totally,
he
kicked me in the throat and redeemed himself totally by sending me a copy of the play, basically saying, eat it.
I'm not a huge fan of his play. I didn't love the play, and he did a play called Killer Joe that I'm not a fan of. So I'm at the point where, and I just think he's a brilliant actor. He's so good in this movie. He is so present. That's the thing about him. He brings so much presence to everything he does. And Winger, you know, like you said, any chance to see her, she's wonderful. She's just marvelous.
I figured she retired. I mean,
no, she was in that Jonathan Demme movie, the Rachel Getting Married movie. Remember that?
Right.
She was the mom.
She was the mother.
Well, how recent is that?
That was kind of like, oh my God, she's back.
Five
you know, we
years?
Haven't seen her.
That was
so
2008.
Long.
Okay, that's okay. That's still
that's 10 years. Yeah, yeah, nine years. Anyway, so yeah, I would. This is the one I'm really recommending.
Okay.
I found it to be really pretty great.
So you like Chuck and you like The Lovers, and now you're either going to Cannes or to Cannes.
I have confirmed.
What am I going to do?
Confirmed while you were talking with Anne that it is in fact Cannes.
It's Cannes. So you win.
It is.
Yes. So you win. It's Cannes. And I'm the one who's pretentious, but that everybody knew that.
I don't think there's any right or wrong answer to this.
I just wondered: is there any? I mean, you go there every year. Are there two or three movies that you say these are the ones people are talking about, and these are the ones I really want to see?
Well, the one that's really high on my list is the Sofia Coppola movie with it's called The Beguiled with Kirsten Dunst and Nicole Kidman. I'm always interested in what Sofia Coppola is doing. The one that I'm kind of like, you know, the big thing now at festivals is virtual reality, which I've been successfully dodging.
Yeah,
like for the last 6 months, like, oh, I've got a thing, you know. But I can't avoid it. It's Alejandro Iñárritu, the guy that did The Revenant.
Well, he's great.
Yeah, he's got a VR thing that
I do. You have to put on glasses for it?
You get eaten by a bear?
Am I going to need Dramamine for this thing?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it could
be
a
theme park.
And
then the other thing I'm looking forward to is it's really Nicole Kidman's fest. I mean, she's in, they have the new Top of the Lake series. Remember this?
Oh, yeah, I love that.
Yeah, and Holly Hunter. Was Elizabeth Moss in that one?
Elizabeth Moss.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's a new installment of Top of the Lake with Nicole Kidman. So I am totally psyched for that.
Nicole Kidman.
It's a Nicole Kidman festival, and that's totally fine with me because I think she rules.
Nicole Kidman in Big Little Lies was so unbelievable.
Genius.
Really? I just saw a side of her acting that I never dreamed she was capable of.
Totally agreed. I wrote a big, fat, sloppy, wet love letter to her in the Washington Post after that because I was so blown away.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when we talk about our great actresses, it's the Meryl Streeps and it's the Viola Davises and it's the Cate Blanchett, but we don't include Nicole Kidman, and I wanted to rectify. I was just like, she is a great actress. Can we just please say that?
Yeah. Good for you.
And also, Anne, yeah. I know how these things go in pairs like this. There was that movie with Michael Keaton called The Founder about McDonald's. Isn't there another movie that's coming out at the festival about the creative forces behind Chatter? Isn't that?
It's called DNA Daddy.
Yes, exactly what it is.
All right, have a wonderful time. We'll talk to you when you get back.
All right. No, we'll talk to you while I'm there.
Oh, okay, great. Then we'll talk to you while you're there.
Let's try to make it happen. That'd be fun. It's always the highlight of my week.
Thank you, Anne.
One of Nicole Kidman's greatest roles, pretending to love Tom Cruise.
Yes. Well, she's much happier. She's with that Keith Urban. Yeah. She seems much happier. Good for her. All right, we will take a break. We will come back with news. Nigel is back today, and he will do the news. Although Michael did a very good job yesterday.
Yes.
Much of many
of Claude.
Yeah, Claude did it. Yeah. We got Claude on hold.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find qualified and quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites, and now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 200-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small and medium-sized businesses. And right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. One more time to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/Tony.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Jordan Owens. Tony, I've been a huge fan since you and Wilbon started PTI way back when I was still 11. Some of my last fond memories I got to spend with my grandfather were us watching PTI after I got out of school in 2002. I've always followed you guys closely. Here in the past few months while commuting from work, I started to get into podcasts and I started following your show. So I was listening to the show of the 9th of May, and Michael just did the reminder for the Jingles email, and it jogged my memory to just immediately shoot this off while it's on my mind. I'm a 26-year-old living in Knoxville, Tennessee. When I'm not working at a bank by day, I'm the managing director and founder of SMRI Productions, a small digital media company, an independent record label of sorts that works with half a dozen artists or so. This is Josiah and the Greater Good, one of his bands, I guess, and this is called Gypsy. And also, still listening from the podcast today, love hearing that you brought up tennis. I played all throughout high school, and it paid for a good deal of my college. You're spot on. Sharapova's a cheat. And these tournaments are taking a cheap route by giving her a wild card just to draw in spectators. We like that. We like the mixing of art and sports. Michael, as always, if people want to submit their music, how do they do it?
You can email jingles at tonykornheisershow.com.
And I know that I risk incurring the wrath of my son when I talk too much about Chatter. But we got a lot of people. We're open at 8 for breakfast, and we got a lot of people.
There's chatter out there.
And Patrick, who went to a shareholders meeting of Tootsie Rolls, just gave us about 20 pounds of Tootsie Roll products.
That's a huge box of Tootsie Roll products.
Patrick has just ascended to the top of the heap here. I mean, that is really good. So in a little while, when we give out prizes, we have to make sure Patrick gets a prize.
Yes, and the pudding. We'll have to give that out as well.
Yes, pudding mix.
You missed that yesterday.
Yes.
Pudding mix. I made a mistake on that. Okay, so you have news?
I do indeed, Mr. Tony, and this newscast is brought to us by the year 1776. If you would like to celebrate America's independence, get your own bright blue ribbon and patch it around your head.
You do that. That's right.
I do that, even though I'm actually on the other side on that. On
don't
the,
they
on
make
that
those in like a flesh color or something, a little more neutral than what you've got?
They do.
It is kind of standout.
They do.
I like it.
I didn't really have much choice. They said it wasn't like
artistic.
You got something neon.
Flesh color would be a lot worse, I think.
Yes.
No, maybe. I think it looks good.
And for those, we should explain, for those that can't see on News Channel, and I've got this blue bandage around my head. And you say, well, what procedure are you going through? It's very cutting-edge pioneering surgery stuff, Mr. Tony. I know you're fascinated by it. This is actually the first stages of what should be the first prosthetic head.
So, that'd be so yes. great.
Well, yes. I did notice they removed your third ear. So I guess that's yes. part of a...
It's very really good about that. It's really good.
So I guess you would really like to start talking about President Trump.
I would, because I knew that Lester Holt had interviewed him, and NBC had promoted it all day, and I got home... even with the bad traffic, I got home in time for the 7 o'clock news. In most areas in the country, I think that all of these nightly news are at 6:30, but in Washington, at least the NBC news is on at 7.
That's right.
And they sat down in, it looked like the Oval Office, I guess, and Lester Holt, and Lester Holt's really good.
Yeah.
And Lester Holt, he's not cruel, he's not loud, he presses the point, and by the way, and Donald Trump... totally back and forth. And they were like talking over each other a bunch of times. And there was never, like, I think this is fair to say. Jeannie, did you watch it?
Every second.
Okay, I think this is fair to say that Donald Trump, who has said all these terrible things about the press, was completely engaged with Lester Holt. And it was back and forth and back and forth and never upbraided, didn't seem he upbraided him at all.
I have a theory about this interview.
Go.
That he was. Perhaps a little more warm. He may like Lester Holt, for one. But
well, he watches TV.
His deputy attorney general was going to quit if he didn't back off accusing him of being responsible for the Comey firing. So Trump had a mission in that interview.
And said it was totally him.
And that was to put the Comey firing on his shoulders.
He's a glad hander. It was all me. I wanted to get rid of him.
And said he was going to get rid of him before he even got the recommendations, which flew in the face of what everyone else had said.
You think the deputy attorney general is going to strong arm the prez and the prez will take it?
In this case, yes.
All right,
because he's vulnerable now, just to something like that happening.
Yeah, let me press this point with you.
Okay.
And I guess a lot of people who listen. It's not so much that I disagree. It's that, because, I mean, we're inundated with all of the things that Trump has said about Comey prior to this, all of the good things. And by the way, Trump is 100% right that Democrats hated Comey and now are trying to rescue. I mean, this goes back and forth all the time. I mean, both sides of the aisle do this with 1,000 people. And that's just the way politics works. I watched Trump in this thing, and everybody talked about how this is not what had been said for X amount of time. It's completely different. It just seems to me that we're dealing with this different guy. He doesn't, I don't think he even remembers. I don't think he cares. I just don't think he cares. And I was not persuaded, but I came away from last night thinking, okay, that's what it was today. Might be something different tomorrow.
Well, I do think,
but that's what it was today.
I do think it's crazy to try to put a grid of sanity or rationality or even morality over Trump's actions, because that grid never stays in place. That grid just flies off.
It's a movable thing every single day. He's on an escalator. He's going up and he's going down, and you have to run. And if you, like Steve Harvey, you're not allowed to talk to him on the escalator. But Trump, it seems you could.
Yes.
It seems you could talk. I swear, it seems like you could talk to him about anything. That doesn't mean tomorrow you'll get the same answer.
No, but and in talking to him, you could change his mind.
It seems possible.
I mean, you said very, very early in the primary campaign, he doesn't believe anything he says.
No, it doesn't. I mean, he believes it at that moment.
And he's
right at that moment.
And this morning, he's obviously sitting around watching the news programs. He has been tweeting over the last half hour all kinds of stuff. Comey better hope there are no tapes of our conversation before he starts leaking to the press. Fake media is working overtime today. As a very active president with lots of things happening, it's not possible for my surrogates to stand at the podium with perfect accuracy. I mean, he's on full offensive.
If you're a career FBI employee, how do you feel with the president of the United States sitting there, and whether you liked Comey or not, saying what he said about Comey?
Okay, there's two parts to that. I feel very bad because I feel insecure if he says this about my leader, who I think I liked a lot. But then I feel very good when he said, I love the FBI. We just want to get the best person in the FBI. I admire the FBI. I mean, this is all. What he does, it seems to me, in these interviews, is he just circles every question and stops at every single point along the way and says something different. The thing that stood out for me was when he said, I had three conversations with Comey in which I asked him, and he even said, I asked him, can you tell me this? Is it okay for you to tell me this? Am I the subject of the investigation? He said, Comey said no three different times. I find that almost unbelievable.
Right.
I mean, I just, well, and he said twice we're over the phone. Like, how you doing? How are you kids? Are you all right? Am I the subject of the investigation? Want to go for a beer?
Do you find the reports believable that at one of those conversations, or at a January conversation, Trump attempted to get Comey to take an oath of loyalty to him? And Comey said, well, I will not do that, loyalty, Mr. President, but I will be honest with you.
I do, but I also think, and I know that, Gene, you're much more skeptical than I in this particular regard, I actually think that because Trump said this one-on-one to Lester Holt, when he said, that investigation is going to go on, I'm good with it, it's okay, you can have this investigation, I'm not going to interfere with the investigation, I think we all believe he will, but I think in that particular moment, it seemed that was a declaration that you could hang a hat on. No?
No, you can't hang a hat on anything.
Okay. Well, then I won't wear a hat.
Hang a hat on a cloud. Hang a hat on gauze. Hang a hat on the pudding mix. You cannot
I love the pudding mix. We're giving it away.
Yes.
We're giving, not the matzo ball mix, though.
Not the matzo
ball. That goes home with me, and I give it to Chessie to bind her up. But not the pudding mix. Not the pudding mix. Any other comments on this?
It's an S show, and it continues. So
okay.
We got a front row seat.
What else?
Mr. Tony
is... But it's not going to stop.
No.
Every day.
Every day.
It actually...
I covered politics, I'd be thrilled.
I am no expert by any means, but just as a bystander and as a consumer of political news, it appears increasingly imminent to me that there is no way this guy's going to survive a full term. There's just no way.
That he'll be impeached. I mean, what else would you think?
No, I guess.
What else would you think?
I mean, I guess the Republicans would at some point say,
what are we doing here?
My mother once gave me some very good advice about somebody, and she said, don't get caught up in the vortex of his madness. This is...
But you still married him.
I still married him, and I love him.
What else do we have?
Mr. Tony, is the postmortem continues for the Washington Capitals. The big question that seems to be on everyone's mind is, should they trade Alex Ovechkin, or should they keep him and try and rebuild around him and Nicklas Backstrom? Barry Melrose, for one, was out there saying, look, I think Ovechkin's a great player. He's a great guy, but I think it might be time to move him on, and it would be for the best for both sides, a fresh start for Ovechkin and a fresh start for the Capitals.
Jeannie?
They can't trade him. He's,
Barry Zuluga points out you cannot really trade him.
Yes. He's, 32, and he has another 4 years left on his contract.
At
and
a lot
he gets $10 million a year.
Which is a lot for hockey.
Nobody's going to take that. I mean, it would be one thing if he'd taken them to the Stanley Cup. Maybe, trade him at the peak. And
Well, then you wouldn't trade him.
Yeah, but maybe you would. Maybe you would.
Well, do you think a team in Las Vegas would want him and spend a lot of money for him?
Oh, that's
what I was thinking.
If they didn't protect him in the expansion draft?
No, you don't not protect him, because then he goes for free.
Yeah.
No, you trade him.
No, that's a good thought. He goes through Las Vegas with the cowboy hat and the sunglasses, and that
could work. Sell some tickets.
Would you, if you were in the Caps, would you try to move him? Because I would not. I'd move Trotz. I'd move the car.
I wouldn't
do it.
I don't think that's fair to Trotz.
What's Trotz's record exactly?
He just got as far
finals
as he's ever gotten.
Yeah, how many conference finals he's been to? The answer would be less than one.
But I don't think you can keep firing coaches for Capitals' failure to get further in the playoffs. It just seems like that's a vicious cycle.
Why is everybody comfortable blaming Ovechkin? Why is that?
Well, he was demoted.
Because he's supposed to be the guy. He was way more injured than anyone knows. I mean, he has to be. That's the only explanation. He took that hit in Game 5 of the Toronto game. That would explain the demotion a little bit. It would explain the reduction of ice time. It would help explain him disappearing down the stretch, although he's got a history in Game 7
not
being great.
Playoffs?
But I don't... with respect to the trading of him and it being good for him, I couldn't care less what's good for him. I mean, the guy got $100-something million. He'll be fine. The one, and I wouldn't trade him either. I mean, I don't know how you're better without him.
I don't.
However, to your point, if a Las Vegas team that could use him, and the league would love to see him there, I'm sure.
No,
if that's a team that can give you some first round draft picks, and because they're going to be crummy picks, presumably, or early picks.
Did I use the Sands line here yesterday? I know I used it on PTI. That Alex Ovechkin is the only Russian in Washington with no influence.
Yeah.
Michael, would you trade him? You've spent your whole life watching
him. I wouldn't trade him because I think if you remove the hardcore hockey fan base, and there's a lot of those fans at the phone booth, I think that cripples the casual fan in this area, and I think that just shows acceptance to what has become this 30-year cycle of losing.
Which is a great point, by the way. You're selling less tickets the day you move him.
Yeah, that's true.
They're selling tickets.
So. I don't think you trade him. I think you cut him, and you send a message to everyone. That's what you do.
What else do we have?
What else? But Steve Harvey would do.
Mr. Tony, I know you wanted to talk a little bit about the TPC.
That's yeah. a big tournament.
Yes. Right now, Mackenzie Hughes, William McGirt are tied after the first round. Sergio Garcia got a home run one at 17, which you were playing. Actually, both
I've
you played, guys probably yeah, played.
I've played. Never played.
No, he's never played. Never played.
I played it.
You
played with
Jaws, I played
right?
it, and I got on
you got
the green.
On, yeah.
You got
on
the green. Yeah, I didn't rinse it.
Three jacket. Did you par it? Right? Three jacket?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I was the pin was all the way in the front. I was all the way in the back. I used a 7-iron. People laughed at me, but I was on. But, I three-putted after
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's all right.
And
that's better than the people hitting three from the water.
Is it about as intimidating a hole as you'll play? Or is it just sort of a neat
It's nice. It's fun. What do you think? It's okay.
Yeah, it's great for TV. I'd say as you get to the weekend for this tournament, watch William McGirt. He changed his ball flight, and they showed on TrackMan he needed to raise his apex by about 10 or 15 feet to stay competitive on those firm and fast greens, and he's closer to the tour average, which explains why he's in the hunt here. Also watch for the drivable par 4 12th, where every single group, the on-air announcers are going to go, hey, do you think he's going to pull 3-wood or driver and try and bump it up there close?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's going to be laying up unless they need to make an eagle on Sunday, just because you're going to see the shaved edge towards the left side brings the water totally in play.
It's fantastic. And he's never even been there. It's fantastic. It's fantastic.
One final story.
We're going to have to fact check those comments.
We will not take you to Florida for Friday. We'll take you to Ohio, which also has a surprising number of incidents. Ohio Man Friday. Ah. And we've all been there when you've been driving around at 1 a.m. and you say, I just want some beer.
Sure.
Even when you're driving around without any clothes on below your waist. Robert Mason, age 45, saw a convenience store, and he said, well, it's probably closed, so the best way to do that is to drive my car straight into the store and then start demanding beer. That's what he did.
Well, he wasn't wearing pants, so.
Yes, he wasn't wearing pants. The employee just closed the business when the car came crashing through the wall. Then Mason told the employee he needed beer. Then he barricaded himself in the beer cooler, and when police arrived, he said, just shoot me. So,
So they did.
Oh, they used a taser to subdue him, and he's now in the hospital recovering from injuries, and then will face charges when
Poor
he
guy.
Fantastic. Yeah. All right, we will take a break. We will come back with Old Guy Radio, where we will talk to Adam Ferrara, who's in a new movie and who's, I don't want to put too much pressure on him to be funny, but he's always funny. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Harry Zad. Everybody here, or husbands of everybody here, have the Harry's razors. For decades, one big razor company has relentlessly increased prices and reaped immense profits at the expense of its customers. So Jeff and Andy, two ordinary guys who were fed up with getting ripped off, started Harry's to fix shaving. Harry's knew there was only one way to ensure quality. They bought their own blade factory. And by taking less profit and selling directly to you over the internet, Harry's offers their blades at half the price, just $2 a blade compared to the $4 or more that you will pay at a drugstore. Harry's is so confident you will love their blades, they're giving you their trial set for free. Just cover the $3 shipping. You should do this. I mean, this is crazy not to do this. You're getting this for free. It's going to cost you $3. You're getting a razor and you're getting blades and getting shaving gel. Why wouldn't you do this? You get a weighted ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and a trimmer blade. You get rich lathering shave gel and a travel blade cover. It's a $13 value for you to try. Stop messing around. Get started shaving with Harry's today by claiming your free trial offer. $13 value for free. Just cover the shipping. To get your free trial set, and you should do it again. I'm off book here.
Great product.
Including a razor handle, 5 blade cartridge, and shave gel. Go to harrys.com/TonyK right now. That's Harry's, H-A-R-R-Y-S, harrys.com/TonyK.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show. Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. This is Procol Harum. This is a whiter shade of pale. For those of us who went to school at Harper College when this came out, literally 50 years ago today when released. For those of us who went to school at Harper College, and this is in the area of critical commentary, when they got to the line about 16 Vestal Virgins, well, that was really important because Binghamton is actually in Vestal, New York. And we didn't think there were 16 Vestal Virgins in the late 60s. We tried to find them. You have a story?
Oh, yeah. Just, well, the Beatles loved this song.
And Who didn't love the song?
Yeah, it's a great song, but they really loved it. And there's a story that Peter Brown, who was the traveling secretary, returned from a trip to the United States, and George Harrison picked him up in a limousine where all the back windows were painted dark, and he was dressed in a wizard's outfit.
So obviously, not the Washington Wizards.
No, an actual like, I'm Lord of the Rings wizard.
Yeah.
And when Peter Brown got in the car, this song, Wider Shade of Pale, was just playing on an endless loop as they drove back to one of the mansions.
It's a great song.
So, yeah, the Beatles really, really
enjoyed
that.
You gotta be old, like me and Gene.
In the area of critical commentary, this was a song that was often played in a room where the ceiling did fly right.
That's it. That happened. Joining us now is our friend Adam Ferrara. And Adam is making a movie, if I understand correctly from Nigel. This is a remake of Romeo and Juliet, but a modernizational remake. Is that the right word?
Hi, Tony. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm good. I don't know if you got the memo, but you can't speak directly to me.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to speak to you directly. Don't look at me. Kornheiser.
We opened the show with that. That's unbelievable. And then when he's called out on it, he says, yeah, that's exactly
that
how
me.
I feel.
That's the best part, that he doesn't care. He's like, yeah, I said it. Why are you talking to me? That's what I really liked about it.
Have you ever...
Here's what I don't understand. I understand that, you know, you just want to do your... But you're a celebrity. The whole thing's to get attention. That's part of the job, you know? So I guess you couldn't deal with it on some level. But did anyone from quit over it? Or they just said,
they just leaked it.
Keep going.
Well, they just leaked it. Have you ever worked with him? Have you ever done comedy shows with him?
I have not.
No, Adam's funny.
I met him once at the, they used to be the American Comedy Awards, and he was there once. I met him there briefly, but that was about it.
I will say that it was surprising to me because his on-air personality is great. I mean, he looks like a really good guy, and this is...
Yeah.
Clearly, he didn't show this to anyone, because anyone with a brain would have said, you can't do this. You can't.
Yeah, you can't do that. I mean, you got to work. Well, did he write it, or did someone in the staff write it? Did he say?
I think he wrote it. I mean, it just says it's all him. Anyway, so you're in a movie, and I'm handed that it's called Little Italy.
Yeah, it's actually like my big fat Greek wedding with the Italians. It's an adorable story,
right?
About two families. They used to own a pizza place together, and there was some bad blood, and the guys are at war, pizza war, and the kids end up falling in love. So it's kind of like Romeo and Juliet. I'm like Lord Capulet. I play the father of Emma Roberts is my daughter, and Hayden Christensen is playing the male lead, which I actually called Nigel because he's a Star Wars guy, and I didn't know if he was Skywalker or Darth Vader. It turns out he was both, so I had to call Nigel because he knows that.
That's my gig, yes.
It's scary that Nigel does care about that nonsense. But the remaking of Romeo and Juliet, which has happened a million times, the best remake, of course, is West Side Story. I mean, that's just the best one, and it stands forever. It's a fabulous story. Do I understand that Paul Sorvino is in it? Because I really like Paul Sorvino.
Yeah, Paul Sorvino's in it. That's great. Isn't that great? I finally get to meet him. I did another movie with him about a year ago, and we didn't have any scenes together, and I didn't get to meet him. So I finally get to meet Paul, and who else is in it? Alyssa Milano is in it, and Andrea Martin plays my mother, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Andrea Martin, Mrs. Faldo's Tiny Town.
Yes.
I mean, Andrea Martin has worked nonstop for 40 years.
Yeah,
That's great, man.
You mentioned My Big Fat Greek Wedding. She's in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think she's Aunt Tula or something. She's great.
Yeah, she constantly works. You know what? I'm not sure that people who are young now have any idea how funny she was, you know, on what's the Second City?
SCTV,
SCTV, she was great.
Fabulously funny. So at this point, I mean, I consider you, of course, a comedian, but you've done so much TV and now so much acting. In your mind, are you an actor or a comedian, or are you both?
In my mind, Tony, I have a mortgage. Basically, I'll drive cars fast. What do you got? What do you want to do? I went into a burning building beginning of May. We did a benefit for the firefighters. We were back at the Leary Firefighters Fund. put on a benefit at The Rock, which is the training facility on Randall's Island. And we all got together and we hung out with the firefighters, and Ford sponsored it. And Ford gave the firefighters an F-250. And we all went through simulations. So we put on full bunker gear and crawled into fires and cut people out of cars with the jaws of life. And it was really, really a great time.
What did you think of that? Were you terrified doing something like that?
Okay, first of all, I wasn't supposed to go in. We're supposed to be like the celebrity coach, and you're with the team that's
right.
supposed to go in. But
right.
I was team with Juliana Margulies. And we're all in a group saying hello. And then the person comes over and says, okay, you guys want to suit up? So I figured, all right, we'll put on the bunker gear, we'll take a picture. Then they're putting Scott packs on us, which is the breathing apparatus. Then they tell us how to breathe. And before I know it, I can't let the good wife go in alone. And I got to go into the...
Yeah, no, you can't. You can't.
So I'm going. We went into the search and rescue. I was scared to death because first you hear your breath in a Scott pack because you hear the inhale. You're like, where you hear that, and you can't see anything. It's pitch black, and the guy in front of you have to keep your hand on Bobby Burke, who's a real firefighter who played the priest on Rescue Me, was in front of me. He says, keep your hand on my shoulders. We go in.
Yeah.
And then we had to go in and then go down because we had to crawl on the ground. So I have my hand on his foot, and it's pitch black, and you just hear your breath. And you can't see anything. And then I couldn't find his foot. Now I'm freaking out. And he just came back and grabbed me, and we got out of there. And I was like, okay, charity, you got enough money yet? I'm not going back in.
Well, this is one of those...
You got to remember, on the show, Tony, I played the chief. I stood on the sidewalk and pointed. Tommy, get in there. Be careful.
Yeah, this is one of those moments where you say to yourself, they pay firefighters what? That's not enough. They got to give them a lot more than that. That's just, wow.
Yeah, and they do it again and again, and they're absolutely, they really are heroes. So I was glad to be a part of that.
That's sort of like going on a flight simulator, isn't it?
No, because it's
real
flight,
hero.
No.
Real hero.
Flight simulator, I was not listening to my own breath, and it was not so dark that I didn't know who was next to me. No, that was...
congratulations on the restaurant. I haven't congratulated you since you
were... We're here.
Since you're in the new joint.
We're
know,
here in the atrium at Chatter, and if you come to Washington to do gigs, you certainly are welcome to come and sit in on the show. That would make me very happy.
I'm coming. Me too. I'm looking forward to it. And I like the name. I like that you incorporated the podcast in. I was going to pitch you Tower of Babel, but I thought, too Jewish. So,
well, it would have been Tower of Bubala. It would have been really Jewish. I know
but
you're.
It's nice. It's,
I know you're a sports fan. I know you're a Jets fan. I assume you're a Mets fan as well. Yes.
Yeah, I'm more of a football guy, but I peek in on the Mets, and I feel bad because, you know, Harvey had a
time.
Yeah,
what's the Harvey thing? What is that?
As far as I know, he broke up. The girlfriend broke up with him. He says, I'm not going to work. I'm going to go watch a hockey game. Is that what happened?
Well, I look at the reporting on page 6 all the time, and he seems to have thrown down everything liquid that he could find, and it had to do with Adriana Lima, who is some sort of hot model, I guess, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what he's doing. I just know we don't need these problems. You know, like there's always an issue. You know, why can't we just put... It's sort of like the story keeps changing, sort of like the Attorney General. It just keeps changing, you know, what he's doing. Like, what happened with the Attorney General now? I was listening to Fineman yesterday, and the story's changing again. I heard there was some missing office supplies. the long legal pads that the president likes are missing.
So
he couldn't confirm this. There was his sandwich was in the White House fridge, and it was gone. And he did smell salami on his breath. So it's sad.
I was talking to my kid last night about this very question that I was going to ask, and it is this:
Yeah,
are these good times for comedians, or are you forced into doing political humor all the time and making it sort of more on the edge than you want it to be because nothing else works? I just wonder about that.
Well, I'm not really a political guy, you know.
Right.
I'm more a student of the human condition. I mean, that's just what I write about. One of the best laughs I get is when I see people really laughing and either shaking their heads or pushing each other. The experiential laugh is what I go for. So, but unfortunately, when things are like this are out there, they're so omnipresent. You have to at least do something on how does it affect you. If it affects me, I'll write about it.
Right.
And it's so this kind of is because it's everywhere. And it's kind of scary, you know. It's you have to address a little bit just to make just to keep myself honest and keep the audience honest. Like, I don't know what the story's going on, but I did read this morning that there's an executive order to rewrite Rocky IV so Drago wins.
See, this is exactly what I'm thinking about, that if you go do a show, people expect you, and you may not like somebody like Jerry Seinfeld. He does not do one-line political jokes or something like that. But I wonder if he feels he has to do it. I'm asking, do you feel you feel like it's out there? Because, well, you know, currency gets you a laugh. It always does.
Yeah, well, if it's like that stupid joke I wrote because I'm like, it was easy. It just came to me. So it came to me. It will come out. The other thing about writing current event stuff is you can write a great joke and be gone. It can be gone in like a week, you know, and you're like, why am I going to put the time in for something with a short shelf life that's not really me, you know?
I was going to ask you, because I got to go to Binghamton next week. I'm very happy. I'm getting the honorary doctorate, and I have to make a speech. And I was going to say, could you just write a couple of lines for me? Because the way I was going to begin, when I tried it out on the makeup women the other day, they said, you can't really do that. You're not really going to do that, because here's what I was going to begin with, okay? So I get up there, and I'm introduced, and I say, hi. You know, I know exactly what you're thinking. You're thinking, my God, this guy is old. He may not make it through the speech. He may stroke out halfway through the speech. And I thought that would get a pretty good laugh, and they were horrified by that.
Yeah, basically, you want the audience to be relaxed, not like dialing their phone in case you keel over. You want to set a tone. Yeah.
And they have to really know you to appreciate you stroking out.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, but they don't. They're to honor you. Like, it's like walking up there going, "Hey, listen, can someone look at this? Is this infected? Is there a doctor here?"
I may use that.
You don't want to do that. You know as well as I do when you talk to people. You want to get them to trust you and laugh and relax and enjoy it, and that just kind of sets a tone. Like, we should get the car. I don't know how long this guy's going to last.
Yeah. You know, and I was going to go downhill from there. And I was
you did great at the roasts, right? Didn't you do good at Carver's
roast? You did.
Yeah, but people wrote that stuff for me. I mean, I gave them a general outline of what I was comfortable doing, but then they wrote it in, and those people, Lewis, was hysterically funny and filthy.
Yeah.
And I said I wouldn't be filthy.
You write it for you. You sit down, you write it. Call me up. We'll make it funny. You just find the right people. It's like the president wants to find. Is Christie going to be a successor?
I think if for the FBI, I guess he could be.
Yeah.
I guess he could be.
That's scary. That's like you plan a wedding reception and you say, all right, Chris, we're going to go to the ceremony. You stay here. Watch the cake.
That's funny. You'd never be able to get into New York. All the bridges would be shut all the time. It'd be crazy.
Yeah.
But Tony, I've gone over your material. When you get up on stage, the first thing you says is, hey, who wants to have some fun? And then what's the deal with homework? And I think you'll just kill for that.
No, that's just... they're all going to be 20 or so, and they don't know who I am. And I don't... It's going to be a loser.
They know who you... Look, every sports fan knows who you are. Come on.
Yeah, I guess they know, but they're going to say, look at this guy. Why are we listening to this dope? It's hot outside.
Well, when are you going?
I'm going up Friday, next Friday. The ceremony is Sunday morning.
Okay.
I'm going to call you during the week.
How much time you got
to
do?
They only wanted me to do 5 minutes, which usually means you do about 8 or 9 if you're getting any laughs at all, right? You do,
yeah,
and then you get out.
It.
Yeah.
You're done. You're eating pancakes by 10:30 and you're a doctor. What do you
work? Yeah, I am a doctor. Yes, I am a doctor.
Will be a doctor.
All right, what do you got for us besides the movie? What are you doing? What can we plug?
Where are you?
Right now I'm in Cleveland. I'm at my next place is Hilarities in Cleveland. Monday I go and I start the movie Monday. You know what I've been doing is this guy sings. So I've been learning Italian songs.
Oh.
I had to learn that. Oh, cool. Oh yeah, and I had to pay attention because they asked me, do you speak Italian? And I'm like, I know what people who do speak Italian say when they're upset.
Yes.
Because just listening to my mother.
Yeah.
So I threw a couple of words out there. Like, a phenomenal, which means Joe, the cops brought him home again. So I can say stuff like that. It's been really a fun time because, like, for the last week, I've been on the phone with my mother and just talking about the old stuff. And I got really close with my mother during this process. So I've been really, really happy. That's one of the byproducts of it. So I'll be shooting a movie. I think I'm coming to see you guys in the fall, and I always look forward to that. I got a tour schedule up. And I'm really enjoying the podcast. And thanks for having me on.
Wait, let me ask. Can you sing? Or do we not know this?
No.
Can you? Oh, but you're going to sing.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't say it was going to be good.
Oh, okay.
I just said I'm going to do it.
Okay. Well, that's good. That makes me feel better.
I can. When I was in a band, I can scream on key. I can do that.
That's
but
good.
I can't really sing.
Well, Little Italy, and probably, well, these movies, they're not out for a year, year and a half, right? I mean, you haven't even started shooting yet, so.
Yeah, I'll be in Toronto for 6 weeks starting Monday, so it'll be a wonderful.
Wonderful. Have a wonderful time, and I'm going to call you. I'm going to call. If you don't mind.
Please do, my friend.
Thank you, Adam.
You can call me anytime.
Adam Ferrara.
Bye, Gary.
See you, Adam.
Adam Ferrara, bye, boys and girls. Always good to talk to him. We will come back. We will have email and a jingle when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here comes Tony's mailbag. Got your email, faxes, and your notes. Here comes Tony's mailbag. Gonna read some for all you folks.
It sounds like a golden oldie in its way.
Yeah, that is.
How many
in the
years
area
ago?
Of critical commentary, that song was produced and performed in 1993?
Are you serious?
No way.
Are you serious? 24 years ago?
Well, the show started in 92, right? I think I joined you in October of 92.
But was it formatted the same with email and stuff like that? I mean, did we...
Faxes and notes?
But I mean, did we actually...
Maybe there wasn't email in that? Was there email? Maybe 95? I left you in 96, so couldn't have been...
Such a long time ago.
Yeah.
It's fabulous.
Yeah.
What have you done with your life since then?
Very little. I'm in the exact same place, apparently. But happy.
Must be horrifying. Before we get into the mailbag, I want to say thanks to Washington Post movie critic Ann Hornaday and to actor and comedian Adam Ferrara for coming on the show today.
And letting you talk directly to him.
Yes. And I'm going to call him. I mean, why would I? I actually like my beginning. I think if I caution the kids that I could die right in front of them, they'll be receptive to everything I have to say.
Make sure you wear rainbow-colored suspenders as well. They love that.
Maybe a clown nose.
Yes. I'd also like to thank our sponsor, Legacy Box, Harry's Razors, and ZipRecruiter. Please support them the way they support our podcast. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review.
And we should thank everyone who came out to chatter this morning. Great crowd this morning. We open at 8 for breakfast.
It's fabulous.
And it is a phenomenal
We gave out the pudding mix, which was fantastic.
But not the matzo mix.
Not the matzo ball mix. But no, the notion that people would actually come. They're not even really, they don't care about the show. They're not listening to the show.
Well, you know what? It saves them an hour because they have to eat breakfast. And now they can just listen to the show while they do it.
We open at 8. We open at 8. I mean, we could probably open at 7:52 or something like that. But we turn people away at 7:30. And then they never come back. And then they
it's
hate me
they
personally.
Hate, yeah.
And I got nothing to do with it. Ryan Borgman in Chicago, Illinois. Have they moved that orange cone outside the studio now that they have to cancel the Capitals Championship?
Still there.
Still there.
Yeah. Josh Cromwell, Moselle, Mississippi. On the bright side, it's still another 5 months before the Nats can choke in the playoffs. So you can at least take solace in that. From Max Megan in West Marlboro, Vermont. Gene, do you know where that is?
I do not.
It's in Vermont.
Oh, as a former denizen of Katz's Deli, where I ate multiple times a week when I was a lox slicer just down the street at Russ and Daughters Appetizing, I certainly hope they aren't opening a branch in D.C. Carnegie was never near the best deli and closed earlier this year, perhaps because they were unsuccessful with their silly expansions. Katz's has, to me, the best pastrami in America. Their hot dogs are fantastic, too. And unlike certain bars which change their menus and names with every ownership group, nothing needs to change. Oh, and Katz's has the best slogan. Send a salami to your boy in the Army. I'll hang up and listen. I hope you just did.
South Central, just west of Brattleboro.
Okay. Jim Walsh in Annapolis, Maryland. A great little is getting married in September, and I want to do the right thing by him and the lady to whom he's going to be related by marriage at the wedding. I checked in with Emily Post, and she could not answer my question, so I thought I'd come to the great wise orange man. When do you stand up and yell the cheeserie? Is it after, if anyone objects to this marriage, let them speak now or forever hold their peace?
Yes.
Or is it after I now pronounce you man and wife?
I would
Gene?
Say that.
But I would both. Say both.
Yeah, both, I think. The more times, I think, the better it is for everyone.
The cheeserie is just...
The latter,
this is from Sylvester in Montana, who wants to credit Reddit with this. If you or a loved one has been diagnosed with DC Sports Syndrome, you may be entitled to financial compensation. DC Sports Syndrome is a common illness linked to fandom of DC sports, exposure to Capitals second-round playoff hockey in the phone booth on television or on radio. When affected with DSS, may put you at risk of eternal depression. Please don't wait. Call 1-800-CAPS-Y. Like that. CAPS-Y today. I think that's funny. Brent Eaton, as the lead reporter for the North Fork Farms Subdivision Property Owners Association semi-annual newsletter, I'd be willing to do a story on chatter. My usual reporting involves reminding residents to cut their grass, clean up after their dogs, and make sure they obey the 20-mile-an-hour speed limit. Although our circulation is slightly less than, say, Men's Journal, we do have a loyal following. In exchange for this publicity, I will gladly take the Chad sign off your hands. If your contractors are still slow, I have 4 great kids and 1 other kid who could make you a temporary sign. Who'll make you a temporary sign out of cardboard and crayons. In a totally unrelated note, on last week's show, you mentioned Chessie vomiting a rainbow of plastic. We had a similar experience. The kids left a box of crayon on the yard and yada, 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 a rainbow in the yard. Well, that's the crayon thing. We have moved on to something far worse than Chessie throwing up. And I mean, I got her out just in time at 1:30 in the morning.
Because you took her off the plastic diet.
Yeah, maybe I've ruined her life. Now she's on an all-rice made-by-human diet. If you're out on your bike time, everyone, as always, do wear white.
What a waste of time. God.
She stoops to conquer. Everything she does is free. You cannot help but want her. Nothing she does is for me. As a means to move you, she wouldn't know where to start. She's leaning close to you. Stand there in the dark. And what you remember about her, a week in September, bare feet on your floor. It doesn't quite add up to much. You couldn't have had her. You could just crush. Couldn't have had her. stoops to conquer. Everything she does, she needs. You cannot help but want her. The light in her eyes, the scars on her knees. As a means to move you, she knows just what to do. She's all but forgotten all the best parts of you.
There ain't nothing.
Ain't no
Don't put no chains on me.